Storm Update. Virus is everywhere. I'm Mike Moss. Hurricane warnings have been posted for parts of the Carolinas. Tropical storm Isaias is bringing Florida's East Coast heavy rain. And Volusia County Emergency Management Director Jim Judge says his office has been preparing as best as possible in a pandemic.
We're looking at the evacuations and the transportation and then solving the problems that are going to come up, because now we got to get on a computer, get on a phone to be able to get a hold of people to do those things. When I can walk across the room and solve that problem immediately, it may take a little bit longer.
Correspondent Rosa Flores reports that Florida is reopening its virus testing centers.
The city of Miami Mayor Francis Suarez put it like this. He says there will be a gap, a disruption in both testing and in the flow of information. Just think about it. Testing sites closed through the weekend. The locally supported sites plan to rebuild today and resume testing tomorrow.
The National Hurricane Center has just forecast Isaias to make landfall tonight as a hurricane. It's expected to bring strong winds and heavy rainfall from the eastern Carolinas to the mid-Atlantic coast tonight and again tomorrow. Health officials around the nation say not enough people are following health guidelines, and the result is a continuing surge in coronavirus cases, which the task force leader, Dr. Deborah Birx, says has put the nation in a new phase of infection that has penetrated all areas. Correspondent Stephanie Elam is in Los Angeles.
California added over 9,000 new cases yesterday. On May 8th, it was just over 2,000. The rise hitting major cities like San Francisco hard. And state leaders fear it's because residents are becoming too relaxed when practicing social distancing.
Construction spending fell again in June, but manufacturing improved in July. The Dow up 150. I'm Mike Moss.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Excessive heat warning in effect at least for the next couple of days. We'll get up to 114 with sunshine today, 82 overnight tonight. Sunny and 113 tomorrow, 81 for tomorrow night, and sunny and 110 on Wednesday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good Monday morning. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning, buddy.
Pushing buttons and toggles and working the radio gear.
Amazing.
Man, you are good at that, I tell you what. Even for a Monday. And I hope that you guys are doing well as you're listening to this, and I hope you had a great weekend. I hope your families are staying healthy at this time. We are in a heat wave, and I don't know if you're like me, but over the weekend as I did projects and things like that, outside and inside, it's no matter where I went, it's hot, and there's no getting away from it until you get into the pool. And so just make sure that you're staying hydrated out there. I know my kids, I've got kids, they range from a little one who is three, I think she just turned three, and it goes all the way up to a 13-year-old who just turned 13, and we have to constantly remind them to drink, because they just won't.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's days that go by that they'll come in, and by the end of the day say, oh, I have a headache, and it's because they're dehydrated, they just don't drink enough. And so I think we as adults, we get into that as well. We get busy, and forget to drink. But we can't do that. It's too hot out there. We got to keep hydrated, or you're going to have some issues there health-wise. And getting back to this whole pandemic thing and health, I ran into a client a few weeks ago who came in, and I felt really bad. I mean, in my practice here, what we typically do is we help families put planning in place to make sure that if something happened to them, either they are incapacitated for some reason, it might be mental issues, it might be health related in the sense of maybe they're in a comatose state or a vegetative state. Regardless, they're not able to make their own decisions. And when people pass away, we want to make sure that particular person or that family has a plan in place legally so that there's not a mess that has to be dealt with. We try to eliminate the need for spending a lot of time in court. We try to help
money
families,
too.
Yeah, and help avoid spending a lot of money and avoid attorneys. You know, that's the whole goal. And if you can do it right, then that will happen. However, there are cases that unfortunately we have to deal with where individuals just weren't prepared and something happened. And what I'm starting to see now in our practice is that now, at the very beginning of the pandemic, back in March, you know, April, May, around those time frames, I didn't see a lot of individuals in my office that had contact with the virus, or they hadn't been really personally affected, and no one in my immediate circle had been really personally affected. But as time wore on, and now we're getting into August, now I'm starting to see people coming into my office because of effects of the virus on their family, and they've had loved ones that are hospitalized and on ventilators and things like that. And
I've had people I know die, you know, which has been horrible. But
I talked to a gal last week on the phone, and she was up in Washington State. She said two of her friends have already passed away.
Yeah.
And they tie it to that. And you can get into the whole, well, is it really related to that, or were there underlying issues type of thing? But regardless, it seems to be where that was one of the catalysts in these deaths.
Sure.
And the hospitalizations.
Well, sure. And all the ones I know had other issues, but they wouldn't have died without the COVID. You know.
So this situation I ran to a few weeks ago, I was talking to this gal, and she said, well, my husband contracted it, and he was hospitalized because of it, and he was put on a ventilator, and then he went into a state of where he was comatose, and he wasn't able to even communicate. And when he got to the hospital, he was out of it, so he wasn't able to sign the legal documents that you review when you go into the hospital. Typically, We call those HIPAA authorizations, H-I-P-A-A. It's an acronym that stands for some legislation that was passed.
Yeah, I thought that was automatic.
It's not automatic. No.
Okay.
And so that was legislation that was passed during the Clinton administration back in 1996. And essentially, the nuts and bolts of that legislation, as we know it today, means that a doctor will be liable if he releases your medical information to those that you haven't authorized it to be released to in writing. So what that means is that you've got to sign something saying, okay, I'm okay with you giving my health information to this individual or these individuals or this class of individuals.
Does that include other doctors or does it just include people? No.
What do you mean by that?
But let's say he needs to go to a specialist. The doctor's treating him. He goes to a specialist. Does he automatically send or does he have to sign even to give the
No, so it's outside parties.
Outside.
So the physicians,
okay.
Yeah, within that network. That the referring doctor can send over your records to them and they have authority to look those over.
Can't give it to the press.
Can't give it to the press or
and this, for relatives or friends that may want it.
Yeah, and I deal with a lot of people who are in second, third, fourth marriages or some that aren't even, you know, married, but right. They consider themselves married. In fact, when they go out into the community,
them.
They introduce themselves as if they were married, but legally they haven't actually tied the knot, and that's where it gets really hairy. And I've had situations where I've had to help people legally get out of a bind just because of this HIPAA authorization issue where they have been together for 30, 40 years, and one of them goes to the hospital, and they aren't able to sign documents because they're in their body is not in a spot where it could do that. They're incapacitated.
And I've got a question about that. Normally, if you go into the hospital, and I'm here to see my husband, my wife, whatever, do they say you have to show me proof that you're married?
Yeah, and they, I don't. I've never heard of it. No, I mean I've been there with my wife, and they haven't asked for verification. And so maybe if you were to say, well, we are married, I think they would probably let that slide.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people do. But
ready for a phone call?
Sure.
You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, what you guys are talking about, this is Mel.
Yeah, Mel.
Hey, Mel.
I know of a case where a man was put in the hospital and his wife was not allowed access to his records. Plain and simple.
And that's what I was getting to, yeah. And
they have this thing. It's a medical power of attorney form. You can get it on the internet, and it's got to be notarized where you give permission to whoever you want. But if they don't have it, the doctors by law are not supposed to give out any of your information. So as a result, your wife, whatever, your child could be put in the hospital, and you have no idea of what's going on in his treatment or anything else. And the doctors are breaking the law if they give it to you without that power of attorney. That's one of the first things that Marcy and I did is we got a medical power of attorney so that if something happens to her and I have to they put her in the hospital or to me for that matter, she'll at least know what the heck is going on. So make sure you get one of those medical power of attorney. I think that's where you were heading with this.
Yeah, exactly right, Mel. And who did that for you?
I figured that's where you were going, and folks get one of those things because otherise you're not protected and your family is not protected.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And the story
sir.
That I was going to tell you about a few weeks ago that I experienced was that exact story where the husband did not have anything in place when he arrived at the hospital through the emergency room. He was not coherent enough to sign legal documents, and thus. He didn't have a HIPAA authorization on file.
So let me get this straight now. Husband and wife generally can go in and see the person.
Yeah.
But what you're telling me is husband and wife doesn't automatically get to see medical records.
No. So they can't even come in. They've got to have these things in place. So what Mel was describing was in that particular case where the husband and wife, they didn't have something ahead of time, and then that one of those people go into the hospital. If you don't have something in writing allowing your spouse to receive information, it's not automatic.
But generally the doctors will talk to you, won't they? I mean,
I think sometimes
they do. And that's a gray area?
I think it is. And I think it is. And I think sometimes they do, but there are some times. I think now with this going on where they are on the hot seat and there's a lot of cases happening, I think they're more reluctant to do it. But it's not just doctors, it's health insurance companies as well. They're not going to release any information without HIPAA authorization.
So, and you do these all the time, these power of attorneys for medical and all that. Is that something they should have with them all the time? Or I mean, that's kind of tough to say, I'm in the hospital, or somebody goes to the hospital, you run over there, I don't remember where I put my authorization to look. What do you do?
Me personally, I use a service called DocuBank, and there are different services out there, but that's one that we use.
Like a cloud service?
Exactly right.
So you can bring it up on your phone, show them?
You can do that. So in our practice, what we do, when we do legal planning for our clients, we'll give them a digital copy of all their signed documents, which includes their healthcare structure. But in addition to that, we also give them a membership to this company called DocuBank. DocuBank is just a company that banks your legal healthcare documents, your HIP authorizations, your cremation, burial directives, your anatomical gifting forms, your healthcare powers of attorney, your mental healthcare powers of attorney. So you don't have to carry these paper documents everywhere you go.
Yeah.
We've got a way that you can carry a card, and it's as easy as that. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we come back. We've got to go to a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, we offer essential services to help keep your home comfortable. We all know comfort is key in these challenging times. If your air system is giving you trouble, contact our team of professionally trained technicians. We are here for you 24/7 with same-day appointments available at 844-1-HOUR or visit us online at 1hourair.com.
Your comfort is just a call away.
This Tuesday, cast your vote for the Yuma Conservative team. State Representatives Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn. They're both small business owners, so they know what it takes to create jobs. Plus, they won't give in to the radical left. Yuma needs Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn at the state capitol. On August 4th, vote for your Yuma Conservative team. Re-elect Joanne Osborne and Tim Dunn for State House. Paid for by the Arizona Chamber Moving Arizona Forward PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. Prior to the break, Mel brought up a really good point and a situation that he had a personal experience with. And we're talking about authorizations when you go to the hospital or to your doctor in the event that you don't have the right documents in place. It might be a challenge to get information from the particular doctors that you're dealing with. We've got a caller on the line. We'll go ahead and take that. Go for it, Russ.
You're on the air.
Hello. My husband had dementia, and thank God we had gotten all the documents and everything taken care of last December. That was a DNR, and he had already had the living will and all this other stuff. We just updated the DNR. What was interesting, when he had to go to the hospital on an emergency basis in February and ended up dying March 1st, the thing was, I also had to prove that I had guardianship over him because he had dementia. And I did have the papers, but I was surprised, even though I was listed for power of attorney and everything else, they wanted to see the guardian papers.
Wow. That makes sense to you? Right. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
So sometimes what will happen is even if you have a healthcare power of attorney in place, it doesn't have the appropriate powers in it in order to deal with mental health issues. And so a few years ago, I say a few years ago, it's probably 15 to 20 years ago, the Arizona legislature came up with an idea that you could create a separate power for mental health issues. And the idea behind that was if you were able to name a person that could manage those particular decisions, if you were to be in a spot where you needed mental health care, traditionally this comes in the form of nursing home care, long-term care kind of stuff, then there are particular powers that you had to actively give to that agent, and a normal healthcare power of attorney just wasn't going to cover that. So nowadays what we typically do for our clients is we'll put together what I call a healthcare structure, because it's going to include a lot of different networking legal documents that work together. And the first of those is going to be your healthcare power of attorney, which does a lot. But in addition to that, there is going to be a mental health care power of attorney. That way you sign particular things that allow that individual or those individuals that you've named as your agents to deal with the doctors in a mental health type scenario. That also includes placing you in a mental health facility or care unit. And typically you're thinking about dementia issues with the older generation, but this can happen with a younger individual that just loses their marbles and they have to go to a mental health institution. And so these powers are very particular, and there are a lot of rules regarding them in the statutes. And what I often find is when people go online or they kind of just wing it with their healthcare powers of attorney, they don't include these particular powers and they get in a bind like that down the road. It's really good to have proper planning in place, and that's why if you call my office, we can set a free consultation. We can talk about your particular family issues and what can be done, and we'll talk about things like that. And we always put in place mental health care powers of attorney, because if you don't, going back to what that last caller was bringing up, if you don't, then the doctors and the care facilities are going to really push hard for you to open up what we call guardianship and conservatorship in the local superior court.
Wow.
That particular type of legal action on average costs about $5,000 to $8,000 to go through that.
And a lot of these people think they're already covered. It's sad. They think, well, we've already got the health care power of attorney. There's more than one issue with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different issues, and guardianship conservatorship is, out of everything I do as a lawyer, that's one of my least favorite things to do. I would rather not do it, but there are some cases where you have to, that because this individual did not have proper planning in place, they became incapacitated such that the only route that we can go is getting court authority through guardianship and conservatorship.
Can you set that up ahead of time, though? Conservatorship and guardianship ahead of time?
No, you can't. It's at the point that you need it, at that emergency point. But you can avoid it by ahead of time creating these powers of attorney that allow for mental
transition to guardianship.
No, you don't have to avoid it. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Okay.
So these powers of attorney are designed to avoid the guardianship conservatorship action.
So you have power attorney to take over
mental health issues. Yeah. So when it comes to powers of attorney, we're talking financial, and then you're talking also powers of attorney for health decisions.
Okay.
And that's the two different routes we're going to go. They're going to be two different powers of attorney. You don't put it all into one because they're different. They have different rules regarding them. So you would have a power of attorney for financial decision-making. We usually call those durable powers of attorney. And then you have your healthcare power of attorney that deals with just health decisions. You're giving power to another person or people to be you for purposes of health decisions. Pull the plug, don't pull the plug kind of thing. But in addition to that, you're also going to build in mental health care powers in the event that you need further care in a long-term care facility, like a nursing home or even assisted living facility. You've developed some sort of mental degenerative disease that doesn't allow you to make decisions for yourself. And so the way to avoid guardianship conservatorship is you, ahead of time, while you're alive and well and sane, you still got your marbles, you put these things in place, and that will avoid that proceeding down the line. When we talk about guardianship conservatorship in the courthouse, you don't have to do them both. We just typically do, because if you're going to go to court, you might as well get the court to say, yeah, this person is okay to manage the finances and they're okay to manage the health. That's what we call guardianship, conservatorship. Guardianship is the action in court where you're saying, judge, I'm the appropriate person that needs to make the health decisions for this individual because they can't make them themselves. And conservatorship is asking the judge to name you as the fiduciary or the person that's in charge of making that person's financial decisions because they just can't handle them themselves. That's what you're asking the court to do. The court doesn't take that lightly, and that's why I really don't like doing them, but we do them all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's not a fun proceeding because the moment that I file a guardianship conservatorship action in Superior Court, now it sets off this whole course of events. They're going to assign three people to that person that you're alleging is incapacitated to make sure that they're not being just taken advantage of. And what they do is they'll assign that person an attorney. So they get their own attorney. The incapacitated person gets their own attorney. And then there's a court investigator. That's the person that kind of takes a macro picture of the whole situation and reports back to the judge to give their opinion about whether this person is incapacitated or not, what the family dynamics are, whether the person that's saying, I need to be in charge, is the appropriate person, or do they have drug issues. So that investigator is going to get in there and interview people and try and create a picture or an environment for the judge so he or she can make a sound decision. And then finally, there's another individual that's appointed to the alleged incapacitated person, and that's a physician. So you've got a medical doctor that's going to do their assessment of the person, and they're going to run them through some tests to make sure that they cognitively are incapacitated. And maybe it's not even mental. I fear saying mental incapacitation like that's the only way. It could be a person that is totally fine mentally. Physically, they just can't get out of the house. They can't care for themselves for whatever reason. That's another reason to do this guardianship, conservatorship type action. And once you start getting these other people involved, it usually opens up a can of worms. And then inevitably, when I talk to people and they're like, oh, well, let's just do the guardianship, conservatorship, I always have to tell them, listen, once you open that can of worms, you're going to have family members come out of the woodworks. Everybody's going to be involved. Oh, that won't happen in this case. In every case, it always happens. Somebody will come out of the woodworks and they'll make a stink about it. Well, this person, I don't think they should do it. I don't know why other people feel like, oh, if this person's named as guardian conservator over their mother or their father or their grandparent or whatever, that somehow that person is losing an interest in something. It's like not a good blessing to be a guardian conservator. You're on the hook. Now you have to report back to the courthouse. Like, there are all eyes focused on you. So if these people really understood the process, they would be like, go for it, man. You take this on because I don't want to. But that's not the case. A lot of times people just come out of the woodworks, and we've got to do damage control, and we have to fight off these challenges where you've got people coming out and saying, oh, this person, they stole money from mom and dad back in 1985 and blah, blah, blah. So they shouldn't be it. It's like, just go away. Will you just go away? Like, this person's been caring for your mom and dad for the last 25 years out of their own pocket, and now you come out of here and so there's always those issues, and that's why I don't look forward to them. We do them all the time. We do them very well, but I don't look forward to them.
So when you do them, it doesn't have to be a spouse. It could be your son, your daughter, your brother.
Right. There's a list of priority, but yes, to answer your question, yes, it can be anybody or anything. There could be a professional that comes in. Here in Yuma, we've got fiduciary services, professional fiduciary services, where if you don't have anybody or nobody's coming forward, then this professional could come forward and file a guardianship conservatorship on your behalf, allege that you're incapacitated, and then they're going to, once they're appointed, they just charge your estate for taking care of you financially and health-wise. And obviously that's something we don't want to happen. We want that to be the last resort. We would prefer family members coming forward, but there is a list of priority. For example, if you're married, it's going to be your spouse. If somebody like your child were to file a guardianship conservatorship, the child would have to show why the married spouse, who's alive and well, can't serve as the guardian conservator. So that's where the fighting starts to come in. You've got these levels of priority that the court already automatically assigns. And so when you file the guardianship conservatorship, they've got a list, and if there's a spouse, they're going to look for the spouse, and then they're going to question, well, why didn't spouse file this guardianship?
No, because she's 87 and she's Supreme Court Justice.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, Ruth. Good old Ruth. She's still alive?
she just
won't die.
She's going to be alive forever, man.
I know. I think she's got like, I don't know.
That's a tough, tough woman there.
You know what she reminds me of before we go to break? I don't know if you're into the Star Wars trilogy kind of thing, but the very last one, the very last Star Wars that just came out, it's like the end of the whole saga. I don't want to be a spoiler or anything, but at the very end of it, they go to the far off place and they've got to kill the Emperor. Like, again, this guy's still alive, but he's like this zombie thing. I saw that. I'm like, dude, that looks just like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It could have been.
Yeah. We got to go to break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at GetCoolQuick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snugtop shells and lids. Snugtop, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snugtop. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and snug top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Yeah, we're talking about what happens when you get sick.
Yeah, and it's a big issue, especially right now, obviously.
Sure.
Currently, it's 8:33 in the studio, and I think it's about 90 degrees. That's what my phone shows outside. And it also has this red exclamation point. And
really?
I think that means excessive heat warning. Yeah, that's
what
it means.
Watch out.
But the forecast today only gets up to 113.
Holy.
So I guess Google thinks that's excessive heat warning. Yeah. I'm thinking,
yeah,
well, you don't know Arizona. Come on.
It has been miserable.
We can take 120. Come on.
I sent people home early on Friday.
Did you really?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's oppressive.
There were places that were closed, buddy.
And I get that because of the humidity. It was so thick last Friday, and over the weekend it was pretty thick. And the winds, I live out in the east side of Yuma, and the wind was so powerful that it blew a lot of stuff around. And so with that and dust and all that kind of stuff, it's just a good time to wear your mask, I guess.
And it hurts you, too, that wind when it's hot because it burns.
No, it's like an oven.
Yeah.
It's not like you walk out and it's like, oh, that's a nice cool breeze. It's just like, oh, right in your face, like a blowing oven or a hair dryer. But, hey, we'll get through it. We've only got a few more months.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it to kind of eliminate the virus, but I guess
everybody did. I was one, because it happens with the flu. We know season every year kind of ends when it gets warm.
And we're not seeing that. The numbers are staying pretty steady. I think they're going down a little bit as we start to practice.
Hospitalization in Yuma is down to 58, I think, and it was up to almost like 160.
Good. Wonderful.
So that's really good.
Yeah, it sounds like we're kind of getting things under control, hopefully, knock on wood.
We hope so.
Getting back to when we very first started the show, I was about to talk about a situation that I ran to a few weeks ago, and Mel actually hit it on the head when he called in about this authorization, this legal authorization that you will need when you go to the hospital. We call it HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A. It's an acronym. That's the acronym for the actual legislation that was passed back in 1996. But under that rule, or those laws, those federal laws, doctors, insurance companies, health insurance companies are not allowed to release your medical information to anyone that you have not authorized in writing. And that becomes a challenge when you go to the hospital in an emergency situation. Maybe it's a stroke or a heart attack or a car accident. Whatever the reason is, you're not coherent enough to sign documents. And what I mean by that is, sometimes, like I've been to the hospital numerous times because of my family situation, like my wife at times, and then my six kids, where it seems like we've got a membership to the hospital. And so I've been there a lot, and they'll ask you, do you have a health care power of attorney in place? Do you have a living will in place or advance directive? And so those things they're required to ask of you by law. Well, if you're rushed into the hospital in the emergency situation and you're in the emergency room and you can't answer those questions because you're not coherent, now you're in a predicament if you didn't have those in place ahead of time. And that's what Mel was talking about in the situation that he knows about of friends that ran into this, a married husband and wife. And I just ran into this. I mean, I run into it actually kind of frequently, unfortunately. But a few weeks ago, I'm bringing it up because there was a husband who contracted COVID. And it got to the point where he was incoherent, and so they rushed him to the hospital. And when he got there, they vented him, and he never came out of that. So he was on that vent for probably, I think, if I remember correctly, about 3 to 4 weeks, and incapacitated. And so during that time frame, the doctors were consulting with the wife and saying, hey, you know, we need to know what to do here. But this is what we want to do. We want to keep providing care. We think he probably might come out of it. But then as time went on, they started to say, no, there's a high likelihood that nothing we can do can help this guy. And at the same time, the wife wasn't able to receive all the information. They were kind of just telling her in the hallway a little bit, but they weren't disclosing everything because she didn't have a HIPAA authorization, a signed HIPAA authorization from husband that was put in place ahead of time. And so they came to me in the midst of this, and she asked the question, well, is there anything that you can do? Because they're not giving me information. I don't know if I should pull the plug or not. You know, I don't have all the information that I need. Wow. And unfortunately, there's nothing she could do save going to court for a guardianship proceeding. And that's what I explained to her. I said, we can file an emergency guardianship and ask the judge down at the Superior Court and just basically plead, hey, we need this now without a hearing right now because of this, that, and the other, and hope that they grant that. But I said, that's not permanent. We'll have to go back for a permanent hearing to decide whether you'll be the permanent guardian and conservator for your husband. And I said, and that's going to be probably about $6,000 to $8,000 to go through that whole proceeding. And they said, anything at this point, we've got to get
it won't even happen that quick, will it?
It will happen if you do an emergency. It will happen if the judge is satisfied. You've got to meet some criteria there. I was pretty confident that we would get that, but ultimately the husband passed away, and we didn't end up filing. And so now it's a probate situation. So if you die with something in your personal name and wife isn't on that or husband's not on that, then you've got to go through some sort of process to get that out of the dead person's name over to the beneficiaries. If you don't have a will in place, then that means that we're going to be subjected to the default who gets my stuff and who's in charge rules under Arizona law. And that's what we call the probate laws or the intestate laws of Arizona. So in a typical situation where you've got a husband and wife, usually the husband or the wife is the default. If you're married at the time that you pass away and you don't have a will, then that spouse, the living spouse, is going to be your default beneficiary. But it gets a little crazy when you not only die married to a spouse, but you have children that aren't from that spouse, from a different relationship. Maybe it's a second, third marriage, something like that. So you've got your kids over here that biologically are yours, and then you were married to this other guy or this gal when you died, and they have their own kids over here, for example. But when you pass away, you didn't have a will. Arizona law will say, well, now they've got to split it. So husband gets some, and then your kids get some. And it doesn't sound right.
It costs a lot of money to go probate, too.
It does, yeah. But that can get really, really hairy quickly.
And it gets challenged and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, especially in those types of situations. And all that can be avoided if you just take a little bit of time now to put something in place. And even if you have before, it's always good practice to look at it every few years.
Yeah.
To look back and see if it's good enough for your particular situation. I think what a lot of people will find is once they look back at it and they review it, they think, why the heck did we name that person? Why did we put this in there? Why did we do that, you know? Oh, I don't remember doing that. And so it's always good to brush those things off. It's not a one-time set-it-and-forget-it thing. You need to revisit that every few years. And we're really good about helping our clients do that. So if you have planning in place, it's not something that it just, you know, becomes the end-all, be-all. You should look at that, pull it out, and we can help you, coach you through that. We look at hundreds of these things all the time. And so if you bring it into our office, we'll sit down with it. We can look at it, tell you what it actually is doing, and see if you want to make changes to it. We've got a caller on the line. You want to take that, Russ?
You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good. It's about time, you guys. You're doing an awesome job, by the way.
Thank you.
We just went through that and are still going through it in another state. We're down here. They're up there. The dead guy left a will. The person that was the executor, he died. That was his father. He handed it to the stepmother before he passed away. The stepmother says she don't want anything to do with it and handed it to another fella that is a friend of mine, but he is embezzling over $38,000 so far, and he's after $151,000, which is some property and some other belongings. And I'm like, how do you stop that from happening? Because the whole will and testament said that it was supposed to go to a nonprofit organization, which he named in his will, but the final party that's supposed to be in charge of it now, he is embezzling all of it. And he's trying to circumvent that will, and he's trying to get his wife's friendship with judges and stuff and lawyers and stuff to go around that. Can he circumvent the original will? I'll hang up and take your answer.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Of course, that's not a new story to you, is it?
No, I mean, that sounds pretty simple to me.
Pretty typical.
I've heard worse than that. And that brings up a point before I answer that question. My wife, this is probably a couple of years ago, she's like, you know, you should, because I'll come home and I'll tell her these stories, and she says, that didn't happen. I said, it actually has happened. That is happening, and this is what's going on. But I can't tell my wife, like, it's this person or that person, but I can give her general, you know, stories and not be specific. And so I'm very careful not to disclose any client information. But, man, when I've got a doozy, my wife is my trusted confidant, and I can't not share with her. And a couple of years ago, she said, you really need to write a book about this stuff. And I said, no, nobody's going to read that book. She's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everybody loves that stuff. Everybody wants to know. All these things, you know, it's just the juicy drama. But
you should just do a blog like the pimple popper doctor.
Yeah,
see,
totally.
No one wants to watch a pimple, but yeah, she's like hot.
Yeah, no, I watch it all the time.
Oh,
with my
gosh,
wife.
So
my
gross.
Wife is really into that stuff. We started having the kids watch it with us, and they're like, they start dry heating.
you could be the next one.
Yeah,
you could tell all these terrible stories.
I don't think it's that exciting, but she thinks it is. And but getting to your question, how can this guy seemingly embezzle or take money from this estate? when you're in the probate world, it gets a little crazy. And what will happen is when a person is named as an executor, what you call an executor, we call them personal representatives here in Arizona, and most states do, but it's the same thing. Same concept, just different word. They changed it a few years back. But the personal representative is the person that the court nominated to come in and quarterback the deliverance of the assets over to the beneficiary. And in this last caller's scenario, what he said was that the will that this person left behind, the person that passed away, we call it the decedent, when the decedent died, in their will it said, everything goes to this charity. And then he said, well, how is this one guy who got appointed by the court as the court or the estate personal representative, how is he taking all this money to the tune of $38,000 so far, and it looks like he's going after more and more? And when you get into the probate world and court, you've got a list of priorities, and I imagine what's happening here is that person that was nominated by the court, I'm sorry, he wasn't nominated, but who was appointed by the court, once he has control of the estate, what he's going to do is he's going to charge the estate for every little thing he does.
Expenses,
reimbursements. But it's not just expenses that you're being reimbursed, it's your time. You can charge your time, and oftentimes, you know, it could be $35 to $50 an hour, and so he's just sitting here keeping track of his time and then billing the estate. Yeah, and we call those administrative expenses, and actually those come off the top. And in a probate type matter, there are three tiers of priority when we're talking about payments. The things that get paid first are court fees, lawyer's fees, and administrative expenses for that executor or that personal representative.
The family can always come sue. But when there's only $150,000, he's taking a lot of it, you'd spend more money on lawyers in the long run.
Yeah, and so
it's
charity,
it's a no-win situation.
The ultimate beneficiary here in this situation is the charity.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones that have the legal interest or the legal standing to say, hey, this guy's like just racking it up.
Right.
We want to remove him.
Right.
But it would take an action court to do that. They would have to file a motion and...
You know, you have lawyers involved, and that just means more expenses
more
coming
money.
Out of the...
Yep. Yeah, and it might be that they don't even know that they're a beneficiary because he hasn't told them or nobody's made them aware of it. If they're aware of it, they might have a different interest in getting into that action. So when you get into the court system like that, through probate, through guardianship, conservatorship, it gets really dicey quickly.
It's a no-win.
This is a Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Is your air conditioning system ready for the summer heat? This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. They have been cooling and heating Yuma since 1955, and they can replace your old and inefficient AC system. Now is the best time to replace your AC system. Special financing is available for up to 60 months. New AC systems are 30 to 40% more energy efficient than those installed just 10 years ago. Bottom line, Quick Refrigeration can keep you cool and save you money. Special financing and reduced energy bills are yours. All you have to do is place a call and request a visit from one of their professional technicians. Start the saving today. Call Quick Refrigeration at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. He's running the boards and lending a helpful hand here. We've been talking a lot today about getting your affairs in order, particularly when it comes to the health-type decision-making. We've only got a few more minutes here, and I wanted to take the opportunity to make mention of our online video that we recently posted on the at the outset of this whole pandemic. We wanted to get the information out to the Yuma community in a way that they didn't have to come to the office, they didn't have to go to the library, they didn't have to go out to get the information, and that meant posting it online. And so we created this video. It's about 30 minutes long because it's an educational video type thing, and I'd encourage you to go on my website to watch that. It's free. You don't have to pay for anything. We just ask for your email address so we can reach out to you, or we have you on our system so that if you have questions in the future and you reach out to us, we have you identified of who you are. But having said all that, it's a really good way to refresh your memory if you already have something in place and maybe need to review what you have. But it's also a great place to start finding good information as to what you need to do to get your ducks in a row in the event that something, heaven forbid, happened to you or somebody that you love, maybe they contract this thing, you know, and they're in a really tough predicament. That's happened. It's starting to happen now. As I meet with clients, a lot of the clients that I'm starting to meet with now, there has been some sort of issue with COVID, and it's now coming into my office. Whereas, like I said before, at the beginning of this, you know, March, April, May timeframes, I didn't see a lot of it. I heard it from time to time. But now it's becoming more and more an issue. Family members are coming in because of issues legally that are happening, not only in the healthcare system, but because a loved one actually died from, well, what they're calling COVID-related issues. So it is coming in now more and more and more, and we're not invincible. I think part of the problem is the younger generation thinks that they are, and if you look at the numbers, the younger generation are the ones that are getting hit harder because I think they're not practicing.
But they're not in deaths, but in cases.
Right. Yeah. And I've read accounts online to the effect of these younger generation kids. I call them kids because, you know,
they're
to me,
they're
kids. Yeah. But, you know, you're talking your mid-20s to mid-30s, and these individuals are really getting hit hard by it. I think it's because they just didn't, maybe they didn't take it seriously, or they felt like I'm invincible, like most people do.
Sure.
At that age, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think we all need to be paying attention and doing our best to keep safe and healthy and protecting our own sphere of contact, and you need to be ready because it can come at any time. Like we saw at the very beginning, you really don't know if you've contracted COVID until a couple weeks later, you know. And by that time, you might be caught in a really bad predicament. So rather than not having your stuff in order, I would encourage you to go online to my website. It's yuma.law. That's as simple as it is, yuma.law. There's no .com, just yuma.law. And it's right there on the front page. You're able to click on this little video and see what your options are and see what we can do for you, because you need to have something in order. And even if it's a simple, you know, power of attorney or will or healthcare structure, you need to have something because you're playing with fire if you don't. Did you want to make mention of that comment?
Well, yeah, I got a text from Ken. Says, why has there not been a reality show for the will readings and contested settlements? Which I thought that's hilarious. We were laughing about it because, you know, that's a show like, you know, Housewives of New Jersey, they'd go for.
Oh, man. That'd be a great idea.
We're waiting until Ken has his will done, and then there'll be a reality show. <you know. laughs>
He'll be the first one.
Yeah, because we'll have all kinds of anger.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for that.
But you know there's anger in that, and there's hate, you know, and there's all kinds of terrible stories, you know, that goes on in those. But that's why you need to get it set up ahead of time so you just avoid it all.
Yeah,
unless you really
thrive
on those things. You say, hey, when I pass, what I really want most is for my family to fight and kill each other.
I heard that once. In all my years of doing this, I did hear, maybe not once, but one that I really remember. I was talking to a guy and I said, you know, I'm trying to help you avoid court. I'm trying to help you avoid these fights and things. And he says, No, I want them to fight. I want them to fight it to the death. Yeah. He didn't like his kids. And yeah. So he's like, nope, let him just, Adam, I want you to make it a mess. I'm like, well, okay, then just leave my office. I can't help you. That's the mess that you're going to have.
He doesn't need to do anything. Leave it alone. State
that's
will make
what
it
I
a
said.
Mess.
I said, yeah, don't just, worry. Good for you, man. You can go whistling Dixie and just go out of my office and save some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they won't. They're going to go. I mean, they're going to blow through all that.
Just write a will that says, I leave to my favorite child, and then have them fight over it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's a good. I am the favorite child, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, you're okay.
But everybody knows that.
But then you'd have to prove it.
No, everybody says it. I've got documented, things over the years.
Oh.
Ask Dad for this, because he'll do it. Yeah, okay. So I have to be the guy. No. Yeah. Dad, if you're listening to this, that's not true. That never happened. This has been Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
KBLU. You